Well, while you're looking, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 26. While you're turning there, you'll notice the artwork on the handout. My son does all the artwork, and I give him the title of my message, and then he figures out what kind of artwork to put on it. And as I told him, I said, "Son, I'm in the flow of possibility, in the land of impossibility." He came running into me. He said, "Dad, do you remember MacGyver?" And I go, "Yeah." He says, "Dad, MacGyver was always able to get out of the most impossible situations." And then he brings his laptop in, and his laptop, he shows me a commercial with MasterCard and MacGyver. And it says, air freshener. It's one of those little cardboard pine ones you hang on your rearview mirror. $1.49. He cuts the rope, escapes. Then it says tube sock, $4. He throws it over a cable, slides to safety. Then it says tweezers, turkey baster, bobby pin, rubber band, ballpoint pin, $14. He fixes the engine of an 18-wheeler, gets out of the gate just before everything blows up. I mean, you give him a toothpick and a Swiss Army knife, and he will build you a mini mall, okay? Well, that's what I want to give you this morning. I want to give you something solid to stand on this morning. A toothpick of something solid and a Swiss Army knife of substance that you and I can embrace this morning. And again, I'm going to use the subject, staying in the flow of possibility in the land of impossibility. And what I'm going to share with you, Genesis chapter 26, is a reality for my wife and I. We live in this portion of the Word. Everything I'm going to share with you this morning is going to be very easy for you to check. It's in all the verses. All I'm going to do is break it down to 4 points, something that you can hold on to. Point number one. Are you ready? Everybody say, "I'm ready."
Ready.
Listen to me. His no is better than mine. You adults understand that. Did you know that? If you're a parent here this morning, you know exactly what I just said. Because your no is a lot better than your children's. Why? You have been there. You've done that. You are farsighted. They are nearsighted. You and I, as even if we're adults today, when it comes to God, we are nearsighted. Everything that we want it right now. It's got to happen right now. We're going to satisfy the lust of the flesh. We're going to deal with everything that goes on in us. So we got to have it now. But God, he's smarter than I am. Just like you parents are smarter than your kids. Why do you want your kids to go to college? Why do you want certain things to happen for them? Why do you want them in church? Because you know the benefits that are going to happen for them. God knows the benefits. God knows what's going on. Verse number one says this. There was a famine in the land, not the first famine that was in the time of Abraham. That's very important. How many know this is a personal relationship? How many know that prior to 2,000 years ago, God spoke by one or two people, everybody else got to hear it. 2,000 years ago, the rules changed. 2,000 years ago, it became a very personal relationship where God would speak to every one of us individually. Every one of us. So right here, it shows me something. Two famines, two people, two different instructions. Abraham, he said, move. But he's going to tell Isaac to stay. Verse number two. And the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, don't go. Please listen to me. Please. God is going to speak to you in a language that you understand. Now, there's two parts to that language. By the way, the word language is a wonderful word. It talks about communication or the relating of ideas. First off, he's going to talk to me in a voice I do understand. How many know he's not going to talk to me in Japanese? I do not understand Japanese. Other than arigato. That's it. He won't speak to me in Spanish because I only know frijoles, okay? He's going to talk to me in English because I understand English. But beyond the English language, he's going to speak to me in a language that I understand. He's going to speak to you in a language that you understand. Let me give you an example. We've been on the road 30 years. October, my wife and I celebrated 30 years full-time on the evangelistical field. Let me tell you, what I'm going to share with you this morning, it will work. It's not a hard thing. It's not hard to understand. His no is better than mine. He is God. You're not going to take the man by surprise. Your sins don't catch him, take his breath away and catch him off guard. He doesn't go, oh my God, look what Jay just did. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He knows it all, folks. Are you catching the picture here? You're not going to catch him off guard. But 21, 30 years ago, October 1978, we hit the road. I went out. I played the guitar and sang. My wife played the guitar and sang. We had two other singers with us, went with another gospel band. 2 weeks on the road, the other two people quit. And that rocked my socks. I went through this big, long walk, and I started bawling, squalling, complaining. Anybody ever done that? How many know it's very hard to hear from God when your mouth is bawling and squalling? Again, you parents understand that. When your child gets hurt and they're crying, what do you tell them? Shut up. Stop crying. Tell me where it hurts. Then you can deal with the problem. Cry later, but tell me first off, where does it hurt? So when I finally stop bawling and squalling, please listen, God is going to speak to me in a language that I understand. And so he says to me, what is that to you? Now, that may not communicate to you, but this is a personal relationship. But it does communicate to me. That is St. John chapter 21. Jesus just tells Peter how he's going to die to prove his love. Peter looks over his shoulder and says, what about him? Speaking of John. Jesus says, what is that to you? You do what I told you to do. And I went back and I told him, don't let the door hit you on the way back. We're still on the road 30 years later. Are you catching the picture? I've been working with cowboys for 27 years. I was doing a revival in a, are you ready for this? In an Indian mission, two cowboys came. The next night from 75 miles away, they brought six more cowboys. They get born again, and God speaks to me in a language that I understand. He says, join their chariot. Again, that's Acts chapter 8. Are you starting to catch them? God uses this book to talk to me. I understand it. I've spent 35 years in the book. Every day I'm in the book. I carry a full Bible in this boot of my boot. There's a Bible in there. It's a full Bible. Miniature size. You need binoculars to read it, but it's there. And my wife will watch me. I'll pull it out and I'll check on somebody. Somebody said something in church the other day. I reached in my book, pulled that little puppy out. Go, what is this? Where'd that come from? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Because it wasn't in the Word. See, I don't mind leaving home without my American Express, okay? But I ain't leaving home without the Word of God. Because when Eve said what she thought the Word of God said, she ate them right out of house and home. Okay, you got that? Am I doing okay? But let me tell you how else God speaks to me. He speaks to me in a voice that I do understand. A few years back when we went to buy our first home, the Lord spoke to me. We were on a holiday. We were going on a holiday 4 days. But we got halfway to our destination, and God said, now's the time to buy your house. How many know when God says now, now is now? That ain't 4 days from now. That doesn't mean go enjoy the vacation and then go look for a house. That means now. So we finished the drive, had dinner. The next day, we were coming back. But see, and then we started looking for a house. But God gave me a price I could believe for. See, he spoke to me in a language I can understand. Our house cost a lot more than that. But I could never touch that one. So he spoke to me in something I could reach, something I could see, something I could taste, something I could feel. Then to find my house, one day I'm out driving. I always wanted to see this house where we live, but the gate was always locked. Could never get in there to see it. So one day he got, watch, he's going to speak to me in a language I understand. He says, go to Van Zandt Farms. We live in Fossil Creek Estates. But he says, go to Van Zandt Farms. Do you know why? Because if he's told me to go to Fossil Creek, I would have reasoned it out of my brain. The gate is always locked. But Van Zandt Farms is always open. Watch. Speaking to me in a language I understand. I can obey that. Van Zandt Farms is open. I'll go there. You catching this? So as I'm going there, to get to Van Zandt Farms, I have to go past the entrance gate to Fossil Creek Estates. The gate's open. Are you catching? He's very smart. His no is better than mine. So when the man speaks, he's going to speak to you with something you can understand. And every one of you does hear the voice of God. Not one of you is exempted. And you might be sitting there going, well, I don't hear God's voice. Yes, you do. And you do respond to his voice. Number one, God said so. John 10, three times he says, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow. So if God said I hear his voice, then I must hear his voice. Is that correct? Will you agree with me on that? But let me show you how you do respond, even though you don't know you hear his voice and respond, but you do. And you're going to respond based on your maturity, your experiences of life, your age, a lot of other factors, your surroundings. All of that comes into how do you hear God's voice. But let me give you a real good example. When I found out that Wendy was pregnant with our son, Jean Thomas, I would sneak under the sheets every single night, and I would pray into her belly button, and I would say, son, you're the best, you're terrific, you're a champion, you're a gold medal winner, you bring home the gold. You are a disciple, taught the Lord, obedient to God's word, great is your peace and undisturbed composure. No weapon formed against you, son, will ever prosper. Every tongue that rises up in judgment against you shall prove to be in wrong. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You're righteous in me, save God. You're the healed, you're the redeemed, the Lord. Son, I'll speak to you one time and only one time while I speak to you. And by the way, while you're in there, get potty trained. Sometimes there's foolishness involved in our prayer life. How many know I spoke really good words over my son? Do you know 25 years later, I'm still speaking the same words over my boy? I still speak the same words. Then came that glorious day. John Thomas is going to be born. I'm there in the delivery room. John Thomas starts to come out. My God in heaven scared the fire out of me. He looked like Dan Aykroyd in Coneheads. I go, oh my God, put him back in. He needs another 20 minutes, okay? But he's got a nice head. You can see it, okay? He came out. And Wendy had been singing to him, reading the word of God to him. They cut the umbilical cord. He started singing the hallelujah chorus. She said something. He calmed down. Now comes that glorious time. I'm going to get to hold fruit of being married to his mama. He went to a private school, came home one day, and he said, Daddy, 1 + 1 = 3. What is that, the new math? And I'm paying for this? He said, Daddy, you plus mommy equal me. I'm going to hold fruit. I've got my hands out like this. The nurse takes John Thomas off of mama's chest. He goes now to singing the hallelujah chorus in 5 parts by himself. She goes to put him in my hands. He's never felt these hands before. So when she put him in my hands, do you know what he did? He kept crying. He never felt them. Y'all thought I was going to say something else. I didn't. Please listen. He's crying. Watch him respond to the shepherd's voice, the voice of his father. I said, son, it's me, your father. And he responded the only way that he knew how. He stopped crying. You all do respond to God's voice. Some of you think that my son should have come out of the womb because I spoke all that great over him. Come out of the womb going, thank you, my father, for thinking so wonderful thoughts over me. May I now please have the keys to the car? But you all do hear, and you all respond to the voice of God. You getting something out of this? His no is better than mine. So he says to Isaac, he says, do not go. Verse number 3, he says this, sojourn in this land. That word sojourn is an awesome word. It means to turn aside as to lodge or for any other purpose. Listen, as my guest. Doesn't it kind of remind you of that movie Beauty and the Beast? Be my guest, be my guest. You should have seen your pastor just now. He just went just like, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Huh? Think about it. As his guest, God just took responsibility for your life. I'm going to sojourn in this land. What land? The land of famine. The land of lack. The land of impossibility. The land of I have missed God. The land is I'm out of the will of God. The land of I'm a failure. The land of I am in defeat. And God says, now turn aside and be my guest. You come to my house and you're going to spend the night. You're my guest. We're going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. I don't charge you for the shower. I don't charge you for the food. We will put we put gift baskets in your bedroom. We're going to take care of you. We'll chauffeur you all over. You're our guest. We've been traveling for 30 years. People take care of us. We go into town. We're their guests. They take care of us. I never worry about anything. When I go, they take care of my food. They take care of my lodging. They take care of my, are you catching a picture? Why? I'm somebody's guest. And God says, be my guest. He just took all the pressure of the economics that are going on today. He just took it all and says, just be my guest right here. And I will be with you, he said. and I will bless you, and I will give to you and to your seed, and I will perform the oath that I swore unto Abraham your father. That's verse 4, 3 and 4. Did you just catch what he just said? Watch what he says. I'll be with you. Are we going through some maybe difficult times, some of us? All of us? You ever get scared? Bless God, I'm a man of faith. I don't get scared. Liar. There's times that we get apprehensive. You can change the word any way you want. Okay, you can call it anxiety, apprehension. You can call it no. It's called fear. I'm afraid. I don't know. You do know, God, but I don't. It's a little hairy, God. I'm not sure. Can you see the Father now? Watch. Watch him. Think about it, parents. Your little boy. My little boy said, Daddy, I'm afraid. It's okay, son. I'm with you. And your big hand reaches out and swallows up that little hand. And all of a sudden, you watch that little boy. He says, bless God. Ain't nothing I can't do. Take my boy around and friends when he's a little tyke. When you're a little tyke way down here, your knuckle shot's in a very poor position for other people. Just trying to help you. And I would have my son, he'd walk up and pow, blast somebody. Then he'd run back, stick his head between my legs, and say, make my day, punk. He wasn't worried. Why? Daddy's there. Daddy just said, turn in, be my guest, because I'll be with you. Isn't that wonderful? What comfort you. And then he says something else. I'll bless you. Where? In the land of famine? In the land of lack? In the land of it looks like you have missed God. You are out to lunch. Anybody in that boat right now? Don't raise your hand. We'll all know. Been there, done that. But then he says, I'm going to give to you. And to your seed. Well, he's talking to Isaac. But he says, to you and to your seed. Guess what I am? Galatians 3:13 says, I am the seed of Abraham. Right. Now that scripture all belongs to me. He says, I'm going to give you the nations. And then listen, I'm going to perform the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. Guess why he's going to do this? He's going to do it in spite of Isaac. Verse number 5, it says this. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my word, my commandments, my statutes, and my testimonies. Right. Anybody catching something here? Right. Isaac is going to get blessed, not because of Isaac, what he's done, who he is, what a hot shot he is. He's getting blessed because of what his father Abraham did. It has nothing to do with Jay Louvier. It has nothing to do with you, but it does have everything to do with Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with him. He obeyed the voice of God. He kept God's word. He fulfilled it. He redeemed us. He took care of it all. See, you got to get your eyes off of you and get your eyes now back on him. It's like so many times we come to the communion table. What is communion all about? Please, just let me throw this out very quickly because it's important. A lot of times we come there and we examine ourselves and we want to think about our sins and all this. That's not why I come to the communion table. I come there for one reason and one reason only, and that is to see Jesus Christ. That is the only reason. And if I don't judge it righteously and I'm judging my sins and my life and all that other garbage and I'm not talking about him, guess what? I'm walking away from what he did for me 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with him. As often as you come together, you do show what? The Lord's death. Not what I'm doing, what he did. God, thank you for what you did, because what he did is going to set me free from my sin. What he did is going to set me free from my bondage. What he did, it's not what I can do. It's what he did. He fulfilled it all for me. He took care. Are you all getting anything out of this morning? Are you? It's not a hard gospel. His no is so much better than mine. Now, there's a Bible study more for you. I'm just giving you highlights. Let me give you point number 2. His love is greater than your failure. Verse number 6, by the way, says this. And Abraham obeyed. Now, your Bible doesn't say that. What it does say is he stayed there, which means he obeyed. If you look at my notes, you know what it says? Duh. Why? Because God's no is better than mine. The only way we've been on the road full time for 30 years is because I know that he knows more than I do. He knows every bend in the road. He's been there, done that. I find it just easier to say yes. Does that mean I don't mess up? Folks, you can't be like me and not always be in trouble. But I don't worry about cleaning me. His blood deals with that. Watch this. Please listen to me. I'm going to help you right now. Will you agree with me at face value that Isaac has just operated in faith? Will you agree with me? He did, didn't he? God said, stay. He said, I'm going to stay. That's faith. Okay? If you'll hear from God, you will walk in faith. It's not a big mishpucha. That's Jewish for big deal. It's not a big deal. You will walk in faith. I promise you. Will you agree with me? He's walking in faith. The very next minute, he's in fear. The man is in faith, and a split second later, he is in fear, because verses 7 through 11 say this, that when he came to King Abimelech, he would not tell King Abimelech that his wife was his wife because he was afraid. Now, you can look at that any way you want, but that's called F-E-A-R, fear. Want to notice something? Fear and faith are working in the same person at the same time. See, we hear so often that you can't have faith and fear working at the same time. That's not true. They both can work. You just can't walk in both of them at the same time. But they both can operate in your life at the same time. You just can't walk in faith and be walking in fear. But fear can be in your life and faith. Please listen. You can be strong in one area of your life and weak in another. And it doesn't mean you don't have faith. Some of you need to get your foot out of your tutu. You say, what's a tutu? One cheek, two cheeks, tutu. Okay? Because you walk around going like this. Dear God, I'm never going to make it. I just don't have any faith, man. And you're walking on kicking your own bottom. You're strong in faith. Abraham was strong in provision, but weak in protection. See, you're strong in areas. So stop letting the devil rain on your parade that you don't have faith. Yes, you do. You've got faith. It may be over here. It may not be where mine's at or where pastor's is at, but you do have faith. And you know how to honor God with your faith. And just because fear comes, let me tell you something. His love is greater than your failure. Because he did protect him in the midst of that situation. Are you listening to me? He protected him. He didn't guard the sin. He didn't protect the lie, but he did protect the person. Do you know why? Please listen. Because God's not concerned about perfection. He's concerned about direction. Which way are you going? You're going this way. And you're stumbling, and you're tripping, and you're hurting, and you're frustrated, and you get mad. But they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. The truth is, sometimes, God, I'm mad at you. You didn't hear me say that. I know nobody's ever been that way. I'm probably the only one that's ever got mad at God. I've learned it's not very smart, but have you been frustrated? See, he's not concerned about my perfection. If I could be perfect, Jesus Christ never had to come. I can't today any more than I could yesterday. I let him sort that out. I'm just going to sing zippity-doo-dah and keep going in the path he has me to go. I'm going to sing with Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's actual. It's factual. It's satisfactual. Aren't you glad I didn't lead praise and worship? Oh, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ah. Anybody want to hear my second favorite church song? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not me, not me, not me. My Jesus set me free, so I'm free, 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 free. You should see some of your faces right now. You're looking at me like, your little pucker lips. You know, if you feel my shirt and my pants, they're starched, but my undies ain't, okay? Some of you need to loosen up, man. You're pucker-butted. I mean, this gospel is supposed to be free. You don't need to look like me. I was talking with Pastor earlier. Do you know if somebody next to you isn't singing and shouting and dancing and clapping? Guess what the greatest testimony in the world is? They're here. They got here. Leave them alone. And leave me alone. I'm just happy. Got it? Oh, you want to hear song number 3? I feel good, da 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 da. Woo! I knew that I would now, da 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 da. Woo! Oh, so good, woo! Yeah. Where do you get your songs, Brother Jay? Walt Disney. Where do you get yours? As long as I'm in trouble, want to hear song number 4? You ready for this? Come on, baby, light my fire, yeah. Woo! I can't believe you did that in church. Why? God invented sex, not the devil. He just perverts it. Huh? Who created procreation? Woo! My father did, yeah. Glory. That's a freebie. Take that off the tape. It's okay, Pastor. I'm doing good. When she goes under the chair, I'm in trouble. See, his love is so much greater than my failures. Just keep going in the direction. Even if you're hurt, just keep going. Number 3. His want to is bigger than my did. Now hang with me here. Where are we? We're in the land of lack. The land of impossibility. What I'm going to tell you now, please listen. I am not denying right now that there is economical turmoil. I'm denying its right to operate in my life. I'm not saying there's no Goliath out there. I'm just saying I serve a bigger God. Some people look at that story of David and Goliath, and they said, those around Goliath said, have you seen the size of that sucker? David said, yeah, he's too big to miss. Some people are trembling, but you don't have to, because God's able. And it's time for you and I to stand up and know that God is bigger than this economical situation that's going on right now. Amen. Some of you need to get God out of the box. Amen. You know when prices of gas went down? Do you know why they went down? Does anybody have any idea why the price of gas went down?
Well, yes, the stock market, the oil guys.
No, they went down because of me. Amen. And Pastor, I don't know about the rest of you, but I know it went down for me, because my God promised to meet my need. Now, if finances aren't out there, then God's going to drop the price. Are you catching the picture? Or you're driving down the road and you're calling to make a hotel reservation and get cut off right when you get the good price. So you call right back and it goes down $10. Or you go out to do this and you get this and you go out. See, too many of you are looking at greenbacks. Stop looking at greenbacks and look at the Father. If finances are not there to fill my tank, then God, for Jay Louvier and the rest of you, got blessed. He lowered the price. Are you catching the picture? Do you know why you enjoy cell phones? Because of me. So that I could talk to my wife 20 times a day, cell phones were invented. And you can't prove me wrong. Because before the foundation of the world, God knew I wanted to talk to my honey, because I traveled so much. I traveled about 19 years without her. And I needed to talk to my baby. Some of you need to start thinking a little bit bigger. That what God's doing, he's doing it because he's in covenant with you. His want to is bigger than your did. Okay? Stop looking at dollars. Start looking at what God can do with your dollar. And I'm going to help you with your dollar right now. Okay? Is that all right with everybody? So if I meddle, good. How many know where your tithe belongs? I'm going to help you very quickly. Do you all know where your tithe belongs? It does not belong to Jay Louvier. It does not belong to anybody except if you go to this church. I'm just talking to this church right here. Now, please listen, because I'm going to help you. God said, take your money where I put my name. Now, I do know, as a born-again, new covenant Christian, his name is in me. But he did something that you need to understand. He put his name on this building because the tithe does not belong to you. If you choose where you put your tithe, it's your tithe. If you choose to split it up and put some over here and some over here, it's why you're not getting blessed. Because the tithe belongs to God. And once you write that check or cash and put it here, it ain't yours. And if that man wants to take it and go out on a drunken binge, it's none of your business. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, by the way. You also find it, I believe it's Leviticus chapter 25, that he can do with a tithe anything he wants. It ain't yours. Now, after the tithe comes giving. You get to choose what you do with your giving. Isn't that cool? You can scrutinize anything you want to do. It's yours. You don't have to give it. But the tithe belongs to God. You better not be giving it to Jay Louvier people. It belongs right here. But if you'll do that, God gave a promise. Prove me, he said, and see if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. And we stop reading. Read verse 11, Malachi 3. And I will rebuke the devourer. What does that mean? The price of the hotel room just went down 10 bucks. Gasoline just went down a buck and a half. We just had a really nice $8,000 miracle. We're supposed to have to replace our air conditioning. Some guy came in and fixed it for 120 bucks. Because I'm at the right place at the right time. I had three other people say, Jay, you have to get a new air conditioning. Actually, it was the heat pump. But you know what? I'm at the gym just working out, doing my thing. I have a great harvest at the gym. I never preach. I'm just there. I'm the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Glory to God forevermore. And a guy says, Jay, don't do nothing. I'm going to send somebody over to your house. This is an unbeliever. He calls up, says, I got somebody coming over to your house. They come over to my house. I said, there's nothing wrong with your air conditioner. He says, the little hard start is broken. And whoever came out and checked it the first time pulled out your ambient temperature thing so that 3 months from now they could sell you a new unit. Are you catching that? He says, it's 170 bucks to fix. I said 120. It's 170 bucks. He comes back in the house after he puts everything back together and says, by the way, it's all taken care of. The guy from the gym paid for the service call. Now, if all I'm looking for is money, I had to come up with the money. I didn't have to come up with a dime. And I don't have to pay taxes on it. Because it never went through my hands. Am I doing okay yet? Are you catching the picture here? See, some of you are just not catching it. By the way, look where he sowed. Are we going through hard times? Land of impossibility? Things aren't going right? And in that land, what land? The land of famine. Isaac sowed. Yes. Now is not the time for you to get crunchy. Amen. Now is not the time for you to pull back and get caught up in the spirit, please listen, of mammon. Yes. There's too many getting caught up. And I'm going to show you in a minute how some of you are hooked and in bondage to the spirit of mammon. Let me show you. How many of you have been complaining? How many still love me? How many have been complaining because you had to tap into your savings account? Don't raise your hand. You had to tap into. I'm listening to Christians go, I've had to go to my savings account. Don't you understand that's a God thing? Where is your brain? See, in the Bible, Genesis 37 through 51 is the story of Joseph. God always shows us things in the Bible in the extreme so that you and I can relate. You don't find God healing headaches in the Bible. You don't see him taking splinters out of people's fingers. It's not there. You see arms gone, leprosy eating, cancers, dead people, blind eyes, deaf ear. Why? Because then your headache is easy for God. He always does the extreme things to show you and I. When he shows you a demoniac, it's showing you a demoniac is somebody with multiplicity of problems. You got a multiplicity of problems? God can deal with it. It's not a big deal. Joseph, watch, is going to put together by the direction of God a savings account for an entire nation. So he saved for 7 years in the good time, because when economical hard times came, he had the wherewithal to cover him through the 7 years of evil. So if you've had to tap into your savings account, you've been honoring God, because in the good times you put it away for the bad times. Now let me show you the spirit of mammon. You're afraid. That's why you don't want to tap in. Because you're hooked to now your savings account instead of God. You're looking to what you have in the bank, but you forgot something. Your savings account started with nothing. And isn't God have the ability, once it's drained, to fill it up again? Are you listening? Doesn't he have that ability? You started with nothing. He protected you. He provided for you. He gave you a way to sing zippity-doo-dah. Don't complain about it. If you spend every penny, God can replenish it, because you sowed in the land of famine. Now is not the time to draw back. In the land of famine, he sowed a hundredfold, sold and received in that year 100-fold. Where? In the land of impossibility. In the land of where I miss God. Y'all get anything out of this? Doesn't matter what's going on. In the land of impossibility, I miss God. I'm a failure. I'm really out to lunch. This is not working. What am I doing? I need to move. No, you don't. All you need to do is stand your ground. Watch God turn it around. Because God's going to bless me right here, because I heard God tell me to stay. I don't have to move. I don't have to bow down, back over. I can keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. I can do what I'm called to do, irrespective of what you do. What you do towards me or away from me, or it has no bearing on what I will do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the El Shaddai. Doesn't matter how many preachers quit the ministry, it's not going to affect me. I'm going to keep doing what God called me. No matter what anybody in this building does, you can keep serving Almighty God. Are you catching the picture here? You read on, it finds out, it says that he was wonderfully blessed in herds and flocks and in servants. God wonderfully blesses him in the land of famine. By the way, you have to understand the motivation of a heart. God did not give us Luke 6:38 to create a motivation for me to give. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, prayer. God never intended for me to get. That makes me a taker. We give because we have a heart to give. The greatest example, by the way, if you have time, by the way, let me tell you what Luke 6:38 is all about. It's to take away the fear of giving and show you the reward of giving. It wasn't, I'm going to give and I'm going to get a hundredfold return. If you want to see the best example, it's 1 Chronicles chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 6, or 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse number 6. It's where Solomon offered 1,000 bullocks. You all remember the story, because then God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you want? Watch the whole story. First off, he offered up 1,000 bullocks. Do you know how many he had to offer up? One. He gave extravagantly. So you're going to find out very quickly, if you're a tither and you become a giver, then you'll learn to extravagantly give. All he wanted was God's attention, but watch his heart. Please listen. God, he got God's attention, didn't he? With his giving. Then God said, what do you want? Listen to what he said. He didn't say, I want my bills paid. He did not say, I want a new car, a new house, a hundredfold return. He said, God, I got to help people. Because the only thing that's going to last for eternity are you and I. He said, I need wisdom to lead the people, to help the people. And God said, because you did not ask for wealth or for fame, I will bless you with wealth beyond your dreams and fame, and I will give you wisdom that no man has ever had. He touched the heart of God because he cared about people. When you're giving, it's because you want to touch people. and then watch God, who is a rewarder, bring it back. Does that mean I'm not expected? No, but my motivation is not giving to get. My motivation is to help you. My motivation is to touch and build the kingdom of God. Now, some of you hurt. You don't have any money left. You don't have anything left. You've given everything you've got. Let me help you. May I? Y'all get anything out of this today? We need to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 3 and 4, and this is what it says. I'll just quote it. You can read it. It's, the scripture's listed. This is what it says. Listen to me. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, because you do not know, listen, what evil shall come upon the earth. Didn't say upon you. It said the earth. Is there evil times right now? I mean, they're closing down Circuit City, 357 stores, or 537 stores, or 527. They're closing a bunch. They closed linen and things. 3,000 or 4,000 people are going to lose their jobs overnight. I mean, evil has hit the earth. But listen to me. When it was good times, you gave to seven. What does seven mean? It means complete. In other words, you did your responsibility. You gave your tithe. You did what you were supposed to do. You gave your tithe. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Okay? Are you following me? But you went beyond that, didn't you? Most of you in here went beyond that tithe, and you gave a portion to eight. Your past just secured your future. If you don't have another dime to give, you have the Word of God to stand on that says, bless God. In the good times, God, I was planting my seed, and God says, now I'll take care of you in the bad times. But don't get caught up with the spirit of mammon that says, I got to keep. That's the spirit of mammon. It's the only place in the Word of God that says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's a spirit. God is a spirit. All catching that? Another message another time. Invite me back. You getting anything out of this? Let me go on to point four and I'm done. I am so honored to get to share this word with you. Point number one is God's no is better than mine. Point number two is his love is greater than my failure. Point number three is his want to is bigger than my did. Stop worrying about what you did and watch what God can do. Point number four. Now watch this. It says his setback is my setup. Now do you mind? Did you hear what I just said? His setback in my life is a setup. Right. Did you catch that?
Amen.
You say, does God have setbacks? Yes. You want to see a big one? How about the Red Sea? How many know that was a setback? How many know God hardened Pharaoh's heart to make sure that you didn't see your enemy anymore? God does have setbacks. But the setback in this life is allowed. Do you know why? Because Isaac honored God. And he gave him entrance into his life for a setback that is a setup for a comeback. Are you hearing this? Watch. Verse number 14, the last three words says, and they envied him. Isn't that a great thing? The world is now envious of us. I really think that's the way it should be. I don't think you and I should be always drooling over what the world has. That's my own personal opinion. But they should be wanting what we have. I was just with somebody the other night from, where are they from? New Mexico, at our house. And she said, people say to her all the time, I want what you got. And what she had was Jesus Christ. They wanted the Jesus in her. Now they're jealous because Isaac has prospered in the land of famine. In the land of lack. Please listen, in the land of looks like I'm a failure. I've missed God, I'm out of his will, and yet now he's prospering in a lot of areas. And then they say to him, get out of town. Again, God's using extreme. But wouldn't that rock your socks? You think everything's going right. You're prospering. You're doing good. You're blessing people. And they said, get out of town. This town ain't big enough for the two of us. There's going to be a duel at high noon if you don't. That would rock your socks. But that's what happens to him. What happens? He gets run out of town. He gets out of town. He starts to build a well. The well of his father Abraham. This is verses 14 through about 23. And then I'll tell you 24 and I'll quit after 31. He digs a well, and the inhabitants of that land, or the shepherds of that land, said, "It belongs to us." You know what he called it? Essek. You know what Essek means in verse number 20 or 21? It means strife. Listen, he said, "I am not going to get in strife." Don't get in strife. It ain't worth it, folks. He says, "I ain't going to get involved in strife. You want this well? You can have it. I don't care. I'm moving on." He goes and digs another well. He calls it Sitnah. And that means opposition or adversity. He says, "I am not allowing any opposition or adversity to keep me from keeping on." Doesn't matter. I remember 10 years ago when we came to, I don't know if you ever heard of that state, Texas. We came to Texas, and if it could go wrong, it did. Guaranteed. Everything went wrong. You talk about it went bad. And I was doing, you know, the man thing. "Honey, I must have really missed God." You ever been there? I miss God so badly. I mean, everything went wrong. Folks, you're talking everything. I lost everything. Moved to Texas, lose everything. Everything. Do you all know what everything is? Let me explain to you what everything is. Everything is we were just short of naked. Some people, when they're broke, have $100,000. When we don't have any money, we're one step from naked, okay? And I'm looking at my wife and go, "God, I really miss God." And my honey, she is so cool. She never misses a beat. I mean, she is like the Rock of Gibraltar. She is the Titanic that didn't sink. Okay? She looks at me and says, "Honey, when God says, get to the other side, storms don't count." I'm thinking to myself, "Jesus, for you it's a storm. For me it's a hurricane." Not worth it. Opposition's going to come. Count on it. But don't let it hinder you. We're still here 10 years later. Just barely hanging on by a shoelace. No, we're blessed. Are you catching this? And then Rehoboth comes in. They dig a third one. And it says, God's now opened a wide place for us to be fruitful. Verse 24. And the Lord speaks unto him and says, "Fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to bless you because of Abraham." He comes back and reaffirms everything he's already said. "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to bless you because of Jesus Christ." And then guess what happens? Here comes the setback. He's now going to have a setup. King Abimelech comes back and says, "We know God's with you. Will you cut covenant with us?" Listen, "because we know you are the blessed of the Lord." The ungodly said two wonderful things. We know God's with you, and we know God's blessing you. We went in on the action. See, the setback had a setup for a comeback. And then you get back all the way down to the very last couple words. And there's the servants of Isaac come back and said, "We hit pay dirt. We have dug a well, and it's coming forth." And I can't think of the name of it. What's the name of the last well, honey? Sheba. Anybody want to tell you what Sheba means? Seven. Which means complete. Now we're complete. Now we got it. It's all turned around because you stood your ground. And I'm done. Did y'all get anything out of this? Let me ask you this. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What's he saying to you? Not the person next to you. What's he saying to you? Maybe he's telling you right now, Pastor already said this. It's your day to meet Jesus Christ because he loves you. He's on your team. Have you made him the Lord of your life this morning? You can. Doesn't take a whole lot. All you need to do is say yes. So let's make this prayer. Everybody just bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Would you? Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you gave your son, Jesus, just for me. I receive Jesus into my heart and into my life right now. I'm born again. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Now look at me for a minute. All I was doing was helping you. I'm coaching you, okay? I'm just trying to get you to the still waters. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you just got born again. And did you know hell can huff and hell can puff and hell can do what hell wants to do, but you cannot help but be born again? It's after 12. So if you had it's 12:01. If you had a roast in the oven, you can offer it up as a burnt offering, okay? Okay. One last thing. If you need prayer, we'll be here afterwards for you. But most of you, grab this word, please. Walk out of here. Remember these four things. God's knows better than yours. His love is greater than your failures. His want to is bigger than your did. Are you ready for the last one? And his setback is a setup for your comeback. I'm done, Pastor. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand.